From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made on your rooftop. What's on your roof right now? Shingles, perhaps, maybe a new metal roof, maybe some amalgamation of materials, and maybe, just maybe, some solar panels. Not for most of us, but that could be changing significantly thanks to new incentives for homeowners, lowering costs for solar installation, and more. But you say Rochester is not Arizona. Too many clouds here. Solar installers would remind you that we can still get a sunburn on a cloudy day. So what about powering our homes? This hour, we're going to answer the questions you might have about that. Our listeners have been asking me to put together a panel, no pun intended, that could lay all of this out. The cost, the process, the grid, the benefits, the incentives. Rockspot, which is known as Rochester's solar power team, recently announced the launch of a new campaign aiming to provide discounts and information to homeowners. The campaign is called Solarize the Flower City Southeast, part of the plan to solarize the entire Flower City. So let me go ahead and introduce our panel as we get set to answer all of your questions and more. Susan Spencer's here, the president and founder of Rockspot. Susan, nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me on, Evan.
Nancy Johns-Price is here. She is the City of Rochester's administrator of the Southeast Quadrant. Nancy, nice to see you.
Nice to be here.
Doug Weisar is here. He is with Sustainable Energy Developments in Ontario. Doug, nice to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
Lane Young is a division manager with Rochester Solar Technologies. Lane, thanks for being here.
All right, thank you.
And Dan Courtney is a solar system owner and a resident of the town of?
Hamlin.
Hamlin. All right, so very good. And so you've been a solar system owner for how long, Dan?
Yeah, actually, that sounds kind of interesting. I own the solar system.
So. That's funny. I didn't even put that together. It does sound like you're a solar system owner. You're someone who has got solar panels on your house.
That is correct. I've had them for just over 2 years.
Two years now. Yeah. Okay. And so we'll talk about what it's meant to you, et cetera, in a moment here. But let me start with Susan Spencer. What is going on right now? When we talk about the Solarize the Flower City, the entire campaign, you just launched the Southeast campaign to coincide with the longest daylight day of the year, which was this past Sunday. What is going on right now?
Well, Evan, the Solarize Flower City program is an endeavor that Rockspot has undertaken with support from NYSERDA, the City of Rochester, and NeighborWorks, with the goal of using education and awareness campaigns and discounts to increase the number of solar installations that we have in the City of Rochester.
Discounts as well. Where are the discounts coming from?
The discounts are coming from our partnerships that we've made with the local installation companies. We are serving as marketers and promoters and educators on behalf of the technology, and this allows them to reduce their soft cost and, by securing a large number of installations, also reduce their hard cost, bringing down the overall total cost of solar. They've done a great job.
Okay. This campaign is going to run for how long?
Well, it started June 21st, and it's going to, you can sign contracts and get the discounts all the way up until October 15th, 2015.
All right, so until October 15th. And the overall goal again is what?
We're looking to get 100 new installations, which would double what is currently in the city.
Double the number of houses with solar panels.
Yes, that's correct.
So there's around 50 or fewer right now?
Yeah.
Not many.
Not many.
Interestingly enough, the Democrat and Chronicle just covered this. There are certain businesses and other sort of buildings around town that you might not even know have solar panels. They might be taller buildings, et cetera. But we're looking at houses here. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to Nancy Johns-Price for just a moment here as the City of Rochester's administrator of the Southeast Quadrant. Why did Rochester, as a city, as city government, sign up to get involved with this kind of an effort?
Well, Mayor Warren is all about innovation and looking at how we can how we can improve our neighborhoods. So actually looking at how can you have more jobs, which this initiative is going to do. How can you get communities involved in an initiative like this? And it also looks at educating, getting people out there to understand what that energy is going to bring to them. And so the Department of Environmental Services, which is Commissioner Jones, Neighborhood and Business Development, which is Commissioner Muhammad, and Mayor Warren have all joined together to support Rockspot because it's exactly where we need to be right now. You know, we've been known as the dark room for so many years. And now this is going to bring a light and new energy, new innovation and excitement. And it's an honor that they're starting in the Southeast. And that has to do with a lot of the community engagement that goes on over in the Southeast.
Okay. So right now, I would just let our listeners know, you want to learn more about what's going on with solar around the country. Just a couple of hours ago, The New Yorker published a piece called Power to the People, Why the Rise of Green Energy Makes Utility Companies Nervous. It is a comprehensive look at what's going on around the country. They touch on New York State, but they touch on the Southwest. And I've linked to that on Twitter. I recommend you read that because that tells you a lot of what's going on, including some of the questions people have, which are, is it worth doing it outside of the Southwest? We get a lot of clouds. And, as I joked, you can get a sunburn on a cloudy day, but can you get enough solar power to generate the power that you need? So I don't know if Doug or Lane are the best sort of position to answer that, but I'd love to start going through these questions. Does it make sense to install here? Doug and Lane, how do we answer that?
I'd say definitely, definitely. We have a number of customers that have the systems installed, and they're producing all their power from solar. So certainly we don't have the same resources Phoenix, Arizona, or San Diego, but we have two-thirds of that resource, and solar power does very, very well here.
Okay, so in the Southwest, most days they have essentially no cloud cover. They're getting direct sunlight. Many days here, we have some cloud cover at least. What is the difference in a cloudy day versus a sunny day in terms of how much power you can derive?
That can be a difficult question to answer.
It varies?
It varies. So anytime you can see the light, you know that there's the ability to produce some level of power. So we do see the light. Though we have cloudy days, we do very, very well here. I think a lot of people often talk about Germany, one of the most solarized countries in the world. More cloud cover than us, higher latitude than us, but yet overall the highest per capita installations.
Susan, did you want to jump in on that question? Because I know it comes up a lot.
Yeah, I would throw some numbers out there. Germany gets around 1,500 hours of daylight sunlight, and we get, I think, 2,298.
So we have about 50% more daylight than Germany.
We have the ability to do some stuff with the sun here. And to touch on Doug's response, it really does vary at a level that is difficult to explain clearly in a one-hour program, but this is something that all of the installers take into account when they design a system. So they do a shade analysis at your home, and they build a system that takes into account where it's being built. It's being built here in Rochester. These guys aren't designing systems for Arizona, right? They're designing a system here that can meet your power needs based on the amount of daylight that we have and the amount of cloud cover that we have. And we're able to understand that because of tons and tons of satellite data from NASA that the National Renewable Energy Laboratory has compiled and made accessible to everybody so that we can understand how much sun would be hitting your panels and design the best system from that.
Let's go through step by step. You're a homeowner. Homeowners listening right now, maybe they've never considered solar. Maybe they have, but they have this idea that it's either cost prohibitive or there are too many trees in my yard or never thought of it as a Northeast resident. Let's talk about it. You're a homeowner either in the Southeast part of the city of Rochester or even not and somewhere else. Doug, how does it start? And Susan as well, who do people call to get this, to at least get an estimate? I assume we start with just an estimate. How do we do that?
So the recommendation that we have for residents of the city is that they come out to one of our solar assemblies, and you can find a schedule of those at solarizeflowercity.com. You can talk to people like myself, scientists, engineers, installers, really understand how the tech works, how the financing works, what incentives are, what tax credits are. And from there, you can then sign up for a free assessment from the companies that we're working with, which are Rochester Solar Technologies and Sustainable Energy Developments. And then after that free assessment, you can understand if solar will work for you and what it will take for it to be feasible.
Okay, so solarizeflowercity.com.
Yes.
Okay. And the assessment's free. Essentially, it's an estimate. You don't have to pay anything for it.
Correct.
That's commitment correct. At all. You find out what it's going to cost, et cetera. And once that happens, Doug and Lane, I guess, both companies are involved here. What is the process like? You guys will come out and walk me through it.
Well, for us,
yep.
We're going to have an initial conversation with you, see if we can identify your goals, you know, make sure that we're understanding what your goals are, because that is very important.
My goals are lower bills and lower bills.
Correct. Some people, they want to cover 100%. Other people, you know, they're looking at, if I can get 50% reduction, man, that's a home run as well.
Okay.
So there's, we want to identify the goals and make sure we understand what the customer is looking for. So we're doing the best we can to provide that. We're going to try to educate them, give them some, you know, step by step in how we are going to approach the project. And I'm sure SED is going to have a similar process as well. And we'll talk about locations on the roofs or the property, give them a proposal, hopefully, you know, go through it as painlessly as possible so they can understand how the incentives work, how the tax credits work, so they can understand the economics behind it as well. Because at the end of the day, it does need to make economic sense for the end user.
I think everyone listening agrees with that. Doug, similar process for you?
Yeah. I think we start with a conversation to identify what the customer is looking for. The site assessment is really where the fun begins. You know, you can start talking about what the potential locations are, how things would be interconnected. People can start to envision what it's going to look like on their roof. Oftentimes, we'll show similar types of projects to the customer so they can see this is what it might look like with solar panels on your roof. So we'll go through that process. Again, much like Lane said, we're going to make sure they understand all the financial incentives that are available. I mean, it's pretty outstanding right now when you're talking about 60 to 65% of the actual costs being covered by these incentives. So we'll go through all that with the customer, make sure they have a solid understanding, answer those questions, and then it's just a matter of making that determination is what's the next step and how do we move forward.
Okay. When it comes to the process itself of installation, the New Yorker article this morning said some installations can be done in a day. Sometimes they take several days. What's the average now?
I think for residential customers, the average is probably 3 days, 4 days. Sometimes it takes a little longer. Our weather here in Rochester sometimes joins in the party. So it really depends, and it depends also on what size system that you're putting in.
Okay. And I know there's not going to be a perfect answer for this, but you've got to help me with this, because the most common question I've gotten from listeners this morning is, what's the average? And I know there's maybe not an average, but I'll take my own house. I've got it's 1,400 square feet. It's plenty of space for me. It's not a huge house, but it may be somewhat average for a suburban neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So if you can sort of try to picture a roof on that, the expectation is I'd be spending what? Anybody?
I think it depends on what level we're going to start with the price. But what I like to tell people is after you've taken advantage of the incentives, your final cost is probably going to be, again, depending on specifically what size, somewhere in the $6,500 to $7,000 range.
$6,500 to $7,000.
Correct.
A lot of people online were telling me they keep hearing $20,000 to $30,000. Is that outdated?
No, I think that's probably a top line cost. So that's the actual cost for all the parts and the pieces and the installation. That wouldn't even be the cost that the customer would pay, because there's a grant incentive that's available that the installers will help the customer take advantage of, and that comes right off the top line cost. And so your contract costs, like let's say for example, if it was around a 7 kilowatt system, and the top line cost was $23,000, somewhere in that range, you'd be looking at getting like a $4,200 grant, so that would come off your top line cost. So you'd be somewhere in the $18,500 mm-hmm. range, say, for your contract price. That is the price you would pay to have the system installed. Once it's installed, there's two tax credits you can take advantage of, a federal income tax credit and a state income tax credit. Once you've received the benefit of those two credits, you're looking at a final cost in that $7,000 range. And that's something that most customers can take advantage of, you know, within the first year of owning it.
That's very well explained. Thank you. So let's assume someone's going to pay around $7,500. You would probably have to assess, Lane and Doug's companies will assess with them what your savings may be, because one of the common questions you must get is, how quickly does this pay for itself?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
People want to have their money back in their hand or in their bank account as fast as they can.
Sure.
Depending on the rate of electricity and assuming that the customer can take full advantage of the tax credits in year one, we're seeing return on investments 7 to 8 years for homeowners. You know, our utility rates here are still relatively manageable, and you know that return on investment is based on today's rate of electricity. No fancy escalators or anything. That's just flat line.
Within seven, eight years, it essentially pays for itself on an average. I mean, yes. we are not talking about for every person in the listening audience because, again, they'd have to assess it. And Susan, go ahead.
I think something that's really important to point out here is the solar scientist is the technology that we're talking about is warranted for 25 years. So, you know, the panels themselves, after that 7 to 8 year payback, you're going to be getting many years of free electricity that the panels will be generating. So, you know, it's a long-term investment, but it has a better rate of return than the S&P 500.
Okay. Listeners, you have been peppering me with tremendous questions on Twitter all morning, at Evan Dawson on Twitter. I'm going to try to get to all of them because they are great questions. We'll get to them. I want to get our first phone call in. James and Henrietta wants to weigh in because we were sort of comparing the Southwest to the Northeast, and James has a comment there. Go ahead, James.
Well, Evan, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I started a homegrown solar system on my shed to drive an alternative fuel system, and in doing the research, I ran across a couple of people, engineers, who were telling me that areas that you'd assume would be primed for PV power production, say Arizona and New Mexico, that the heat actually, I believe it's built up internal resistance and the panels are not as efficient as they should be. So we're actually better off up here for PV power generation. Is that correct?
That's a very technical and accurate point. That has to do with the actual material of the solar cells and the modules, and as heat increases, they become less efficient at transporting electrons. So that is completely correct. I don't have hard numbers on how much less efficient right in front of me, but that's a great point, James. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, James. Dan Courtney is a homeowner in Hamlin. Installed solar on your house 2 years ago.
Correct.
All right, so you can choose to answer any of these questions or not. But, Dan, this is a fascinating point in the development of solar because a lot of the time when we talk about this, I hear people say, well, I'm going to wait till it gets cheaper. Like the cost of computers went down, like the cost of cell phones have gone down, the cost of solar has gone down. The New Yorker article pointing out today, the cost of solar has dropped 99% in recent years. That doesn't mean that it doesn't cost anything. It just means it is significantly less. Do you regret 2 years ago installing it and looking at the incentives now?
No, because a few years before that, when I first started looking at solar, it was a bit more expensive. And I would say about 3 years ago is when the price drop really started to become dramatic. So when the installer and I did the financial analysis, it made perfect sense at the time to install the system and start getting the payback when I did. And by the way, the analysis we did, my system is a little bit smaller than the average, and the analysis we did showed a rate of return of about 6%. And if you compare that, for example, I just looked up 10-year Treasury bills this morning, you get about 2.4%. So we're more than double the rate of return of any typical fixed investment. So it's made perfect sense. And over the 2 years I've had it, I track it very closely, and we're right on track as far as that return.
How does it look aesthetically?
I love it. I think it's a work of art, to be perfectly honest with you. And I get comments from my neighbors. My neighbors are jealous, and I frequently thank them for buying my electricity as it spins the meter backwards.
Well, but hold on a second here. Isn't every time I read about solar, especially in other communities, the odds of a neighborhood having houses with solar greatly increases if at least one house does it. It's kind of a bit of a domino effect, but you haven't seen that around you.
Unfortunately, not in my neighborhood yet, although there's been plenty of interest, and I'm talking to folks about it, and hopefully they'll pull the trigger.
You become an evangelist, it sounds like.
Well, as much as I can be, yeah.
Could you take advantage of any tax incentives?
Sure. Actually, the installers talked about the three different pieces of the puzzle, if you would, the grant from NYSERDA, and then there's the state and federal tax credits. And those paid for two-thirds, in my case, of the system that I have.
All right. So you're allowed to tell us how much you paid overall then?
Sure. The top-line cost, as we're calling it, was about $12,000. So my out-of-pocket cost After all the tax credits was about $4,000.
Okay, and so you have realized a lot of savings already. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're getting a sense for it now. We're going to get back to the phones in a minute here. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. If you just heard Dan Courtney, who's a homeowner who had solar installed a couple of years ago, talk about the incentives and the possible savings, you might be wondering, wait a second, I want to make sure I understand how that differs from Solarize the Flower City. So another explanation, Susan Spencer, what Solarize the Flower City is offering now.
Sure. So Solarize the Flower City is offering all of these same things. We are focused on education and awareness and outreach. You know, Dan expressed that none of his neighbors have gone yet. You know, we really hope that by putting forward a significant campaign, we're going to be able to help people understand that, yes, the technology works, and yes, they can afford it now. In terms of the affordability, Solarize the Flower City installers are going to be securing you the grant from NYSERDA that we discussed, helping you work through the federal and state tax credits. And in addition to that, we've all worked together to secure, on average, about a 20% discount for a given system. So this really means that there is no better time to get solar for your home in the Southeast Quadrant. And as interest builds in other areas of the city, we will be getting there as quickly as we can.
And they're working with the companies Rochester Solar Technologies and Sustainable Energy Developments. Lane and Doug are here from those companies. How often when you go out and talk to homeowners, do you end up telling them we're probably going to need, or we ought to, take a tree down, take branches down? Does that come up? How often?
I think that depends on what part of the city or what part of the
But it can be an impact.
It can be an impact, certainly. So it really depends on the site itself. I hate to say it depends, but it
sure
does. There are certain trees that you can say, this is causing an impact and it will reduce your potential production by 5 or 6%. It's your decision whether you want to take it down. There's other trees that you say, without removing this tree, you're just going to be very challenged to produce what you're looking to produce.
All right, our panel, our solar panel is talking about solar this hour. Susan Spencer is the president and founder of Rockspot Online. Where, Susan?
We are online at rockspot.org and solarizetheflowercity.com.
Okay. Dan Courtney is you've been hearing from him. He's a homeowner in Hamlin who had solar installed 2 years ago. Lane Young, a division manager with Rochester Solar Technologies. Doug Weissar. Is with Sustainable Energy Developments, and Nancy Johns Price from the City of Rochester. She's the administrator of the Southeast Quadrant for the city. We're going to get this short break in, and then we're going to run down your questions, of which there are many and very good questions, on how solar can work and if it works for you. We'll get to those next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, the science of aging. The MVP of the research world might be the naked mole rat, and the naked mole rat returns to tell us what we know about the science of aging and how the aging curve could eventually change. We'll talk about cancer, other diseases, and what research is telling us about how long we can expect to live. The science of aging next hour.
The data breach of the federal government's personnel files leaves workers worried and angry with their employer.
They have really done an exceptionally poor job of dealing with this and certainly have been rather callous with regard to the impact on employees.
The aftermath of a massive hack, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4.
Welcome back to Connections. Let's start with some of the Twitter questions. Carrie writes to us on Twitter about solar, the potential impact of solar panels. What is the potential impact of solar panels on neighborhood character? How well do they handle snow measured in feet, sometimes in one day? I'm going to start with Dan Courtney, who had solar installed on his home 2 years ago. Neighborhood character, any concern there?
I don't think there's any concern at all. Like I said, I consider them a work of art. I've got no negative comments regarding the panels themselves. So I don't see any negative impact.
How well do they handle snow? Any issues with snow?
Well, the pitch of my roof is actually fairly shallow, so they don't shed snow as well as your typical installation might. So there are a few days, especially in January, when we'll be covered by snow and won't be producing anything. In my case, I actually have a long broom handle, and I can just sweep the snow off if it's fairly light. But frankly, I travel a lot, and there's a lot of times I can't do it. The overall impact has been pretty negligible.
Okay. How would our installers answer that question? Because I'm sure it comes up as well for you guys when it comes to how well they handle snow.
Well, I mean, not just snow, but even other elements. I mean, hail. We get the question, hey, what's going to happen if there's a hailstorm? Now, most modules that are out there, they are rated to design or rated and will still, you know, be together and intact and not shattered, even with 1-inch hail hitting the glass. So what I typically tell customers is that if we have a hailstorm that is harsh enough, you know, severe enough to where windshields and automobiles are being broken, it's probably going to break the glass on the solar modules. But that is a very rare event.
Is there a guarantee or warranty for that?
Damage not against like that, hail. No.
Not yeah, against not hail.
No, that would be something that we covered under your homeowner's insurance.
Okay. But otherwise, generally, snow is snow. If you sweep it off, snow's not going to harm the panels?
Snow is certainly not going to harm the panels. And the systems are put in a way that knows about what our snow load is. We are in western and central New York here, so snow is going to happen. The good news is if you do have some snow cover, it usually snows during the times where there's the least amount of potential production. So it's not a tremendous impact here.
Lindsay writes to us, we're considering it, but our roof ridge runs east to west. Would prefer to put it on the south-facing side. Installers, does that matter?
It does. So if you have a south-facing roof and there's room to put the system in that you want, that is where you're going to get the best potential production.
Most consistent day long?
You're gonna be able to harvest throughout the entire day. But east and west roofs work very, very well too. What I would tell anybody in that situation is get a site analysis done by an installer. They can really tell you what the impact is of making that decision between a south roof and an east or a west roof.
Ideally though, I mean, east west doesn't mean you can't do it. Ideally, if you had your control over it, north south?
South.
South. South facing.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see here. I've got Jeff who wants to know if there will be cooperation from utility companies.
I sure hope so.
Well, that's Jeff. It's a good question. And that's a good time to point out that the article I've been talking about in The New Yorker this morning, it largely focuses on how different the relationships have been region to region on how utilities are behaving when it comes to solar. For example, in the Southwest, in Arizona, there's been essentially outright hostility when it comes to solar. And so let's do this. Let me read a couple of portions here. This is from the New Yorker article. Quote, Arizona's biggest utility, Arizona Public Service, insists that it is pro-solar and notes that it has built its own utility-owned solar arrays in the desert. But it views customers who install rooftop panels as cheaters. They get the benefits of the grid, uninterrupted power, even on cloudy days, but because they provide so much of their own electricity, they aren't paying their fair share of the total price. Let me start with Susan Spencer. What do you make of that?
Well, I think the thing to point out is if you look at your utility bill, it breaks down what you're being charged for. So you are going to be charged for the source of the electrons, wherever they may be coming from, if it's hydro or wind or natural gas or coal. You're going to be charged for transmission. You're going to be charged for delivery. The utility company will continue to charge you for transmission and delivery, even if you have solar on your home. So I find that argument on Arizona's part to be a bit misleading. Because what the utility needs to be doing is shipping electrons back and forth. And they are still charging for that for a solar residential customer. So they're still being paid for the service they're providing.
Dan Courtney, Do you view yourself as a cheater because you're on an uninterrupted grid, but you're getting the benefit of solar power?
Well, I definitely not a cheater because, as Susan mentioned, I pay something in the neighborhood of $30 a month just to be connected to the grid. So even at this very moment that I'm sending electricity back to the utility, I'm still paying for the privilege of being connected. So, yeah, I'm producing much of my own electricity and I'm earning credits for that. But I'm paying every month to be connected for their service of making up the difference.
We are in a fascinating moment as solar becomes more prominent. You have Buffalo starting to produce more panels, Elon Musk's company. I think Solar City has been very active with that. And this moment, The New Yorker compares it to Kodak and Digital, saying that utilities that are forward-thinking, like Vermont's Green Mountain Power, is very forward-thinking. They're trying to sort of get involved, help customers, not push back against solar, whereas in the Southwest, you've got utilities trying to undermine it in many ways. And the New Yorker is comparing this to the Kodak moment, saying, if you don't recognize the change that's coming and you want billions of dollars of new old grid equipment built, you're going to get passed by and you will go out of business and you deserve to. Whereas if you're like Green Mountain Power and you find a way to work with it, you will find a way to succeed long term. I don't know if that's an accurate comparison, but Susan Spencer, let me at least ask this. Is it fair to say that around the country there are some utilities that are hostile to solar?
Yes, I would say that it's a hostility to solar and what solar represents. So solar represents a certain level of energy awareness and independence for the consumer. And when a consumer knows and understands how much energy they're using and, you know, begins to make energy efficiency modifications and starts to switch to alternative technologies or brings in geothermal, you know, what that means is they're buying less electricity because they're becoming more aware of how they are using energy. For someone like myself, I think consumer awareness is a wonderful thing, and RockSpot's core foundation is education and awareness for the consumer. I think utilities that are on board with that are very helpful and are working closely to help the consumer move through this transition. Utilities that aren't, like the ones that are mentioned in here, it's highly problematic.
Yeah, and look, the utilities have had, by its nature, these are monopolies. So it's a bit of a disruption in the game in many ways, and I understand that. But when you say hostile to solar, listeners might be wondering, well, how could a utility be hostile? For example, in Arizona, they have lobbied lawmakers to pass penalties against homeowners who get solar as a way to say, hey, you got to make up some of the lost revenue for the utilities. And in some cases, they've gotten some penalties passed. We're not seeing that, as far as I know, Susan, we're not seeing that here. How would you characterize the relationship with utilities in our area, in this region, in the Northeast?
I think that in the Northeast, we are at a different level of deployment than the Southwest. So I think that a lot of understanding is still being worked on.
It's early.
Both by the utilities and here in New York State, our Public Service Commission and the New York Power Authority. I think that the Public Service Commission has been very forward-thinking. I think that the governor has been very forward-thinking with the Reforming Energy Vision Plan. And I think that as we move forward, it's really going to shake out how the relationships will be built. You know, RockSpot looks forward to working with the utilities for all of our projects that we're supporting here in the Rochester region.
Installers, any issues that you guys have found, Lane?
Yeah, not really an issue, but there's a lot of the utilities in the Northeast, especially New York State. I mean, they're looking at some major, major dollars to be spent in infrastructure upgrades. And if they can mitigate some of these expenses because there's renewable energy is being deployed in distributed generation systems, is what they're called, you know, in various places, they're actually, in a sense, helping mitigate some of those costs. Now, there is a balancing act between having a lot of distributed generation connected to the grid, you know, and maintaining safe, clean, reliable energy for the customers, and that is one challenge that the utilities face, but they are looking to help minimize some of the cost of upgrading the infrastructure.
What does it look like when a utility is embracing the change in energy and the revolution? Well, the New Yorker article talks about a family in Vermont. Fascinating story, and I want to quote from this because this paints a picture of where we may be going as a country. Very interesting. Quote, Mark and Sarah Borkowski live with their two young daughters in a century-old 1,500-square-foot house in Rutland, Vermont. Mark drives a school bus. Sarah works as a special ed teacher. The cost of heating and cooling their house through the year consumes a large fraction of their combined income. Last summer, however, persuaded by Green Mountain Power, the main electric utility in Vermont, the Borkowskis decided to give their home an energy makeover. In the course of several days, coordinated teams of contractors stuffed the house with new insulation, put in a heat pump for the hot water, and installed two air source heat pumps to warm the home. They also switched all the light bulbs to LEDs and put a small solar array on the slate roof of the garage. The Borkowskis paid for the improvements, but the utility financed the charges through their electric bill, which fell the first very month. Before the makeover, from October of 2013 to January of 2014, the Borkowskis used 3,411 kilowatt hours of electricity and 325 gallons of fuel oil. From October of 2014 to January of 2015, they used 2,856 kilowatt hours of electricity and no oil at all. President Obama has announced that by 2025, he wants the United States to reduce its total carbon footprint by up to 20% of 2005 levels. The Borkowskis reduced the footprint of their house by 88% in a matter of days at no net cost. Susan?
I think that this family is a beautiful example of the potential here. And when we are working in the Southeast Quadrant in Rochester and throughout the entire city of Rochester, that microcosm of a single family is what we want to build our entire city into. And that story, we want every Rochester resident to be able to tell. And I think it's doable.
Before I get back to the phones, Marco on Twitter wants to know, any info on interest rates for loans to pay for solar panels?
Yeah, I think there's a number of different financing programs that are available. We see rates from as low as 0% to an average rate of about 4%. So definitely low interest financing available. There's a program through NYSERDA that you can get low interest rate financing at 3.99% with a, I believe it's a 0.5% discount if you do the auto pay.
Okay, back to the phones, and this is Andrew in Rochester. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hi, great show today. I have a good friend who lives up in Watertown, you know, where it snows and it's cold, and he works on Fort Drum Army Base, and this past winter he told me that the base is becoming all solar. So that's one of the biggest army bases in the country, and it's all solar. So for anybody who's doubting that solar works in upstate New York, we got a big army base doing it. And then closer to home, the town of Williamson has put up solar arrays to run their municipal buildings. So I just wanted to point that out, that the U.S. Army is leading the way in upstate New York as far as solar goes.
Thanks for the call, Andrew. That's a little more perspective. Did you know that, Susan?
We have a ton of solar installations that are going up around here, and the DOD has committed to 3 gigawatts of renewable energy deployed by 2020. So the Department of Defense has been a leader in the renewable energy field.
Sarah wants to know, what happens if we produce more energy than our home needs?
Well, in my case, as a homeowner, yeah. I'm connected to the grid. We have what's called net metering. So actually right now I'm producing more than I'm consuming at my house.
How do you can you monitor that on a daily, weekly, monthly basis?
Yeah, actually I added a little goodie to my system, which is a software package that allows me to monitor my system over the internet. So if I had my phone with me, I could actually tell you right now what it's producing and show you graphs and so forth. But in general, what's happening when I'm producing more than I'm using is it's literally turning the meter backwards, and I'm getting a credit from the utility for every kilowatt that I send out to the grid.
Is it unrealistic? How often do we see homes where that could actually happen, where you're producing more than you need with any regularity?
I think it happens quite a bit. It depends on the day. Obviously, this time of year is our peak production, so you're going to see it happening quite regularly. come wintertime when production's a little bit less, that's time to use back those credits.
I want to listen to some comments that we heard on this program recently. We had a real estate roundtable, and one of our listeners brought up the question of solar. And Susan Spencer of Rockspot's grimacing already. Let's listen before you grimace. Let's listen, and you may grimace. But the question came up on whether solar is an asset to homeowners who eventually want to sell their homes. So let's listen to the panel. We'll talk to Susan. We'll talk to Dan. I don't know if you're going to live in that home forever in Hamlin, Dan, but we'll talk about this. So this is what some of the realtors were telling us about solar as an asset.
I would think the short answer would be no, only because of the availability of sun in the Rochester, New York area. I think if we were in further down south or someplace that didn't have the seasons that we
Careful,
do.
The solar people have told us that, you know, you can still get all kinds of power derived from cloudy days.
Okay, I would agree with that if the solar people said it. But, I mean, my personal opinion is that the amount of time that it would take you to recoup that investment would be much better spent on some kind of other improvement within the house. So if it costs you $30,000, $40,000 to get solar panels, do the kitchen, do the bath, do the floors, do the front door, I think it would be money much better spent.
Okay, Susan Spencer, now you can go.
You know, this is why we are Rockspot, and we are here to bring education and awareness to as many people as we possibly can, because the realtor who is speaking, he's not alone. It's not his fault that he doesn't have information. And when people are made aware of the fact that it works in our area, and the fact that not only is it affordable, but the return on investment is now less than 10 years, and you're still getting, you know, 15 to 20 years of free electricity after that, the number one question I'm asked is, why haven't I done this? And the answer is always because you didn't know. And I can't fault people for not knowing. And I do have to say I appreciate you correcting him about the ability of solar to produce meaningful amounts of power here. So thank you.
Well, you know, and look, he's saying, well, if it's going to cost you $30,000 or $40,000, again, that is coming from a place of maybe outdated information or a lack of information. Mm-hmm. But now that we've established it shouldn't cost you in your home $30,000 or $40,000. And Dan Courtney said for his home, you ended up paying about $4,000 after all of the rebates and the credits.
Right. Yes.
And you like very much the look of the solar panels on your house, but could you eventually see yourself selling that house?
Sure. And in fact, my wife and I are actually considering some other property options right now. Nothing definite. But if I do sell the house, one of the things the buyer is going to look at is, what are the utility bills? If the identical house next door has double the utility bills, which it would if it didn't have the solar array, then how much is that reduction of the utility bills worth? In my case, all the estimates I've seen are that reduction is worth about $4,900. So my net cost was $4,000. If I sold my house today, I could expect to recoup about $4,900. So it's a no-brainer. I win whether I keep the house and reap the savings. I win whether I sell the house and sell it for more.
We've got some phone calls coming in. We're going to get to as many calls as we can for the rest of the hour. And so sit tight. We have a lot of questions. Kara just wants to reiterate, how long do solar panels last? Just short answer, brief answer?
Probably productive life, 30, 35 years. Warrantied life for 25 years.
Okay. Warrantied for 25, and that's the same as well, Lane?
Yeah,
warrantied
I agree.
For 25, you can expect 30 to 35. Carl in Rochester is on the line with us with a question as well. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, hi. My question is actually related to that last one. If I were to buy panels now, and then as this technology has been increasing in power generation, how standard is it for me to just buy a new set later in the future? Thanks.
Thank you, Carl. He's asking about upgrading, essentially, when you already have it.
I think I'm just going to speak briefly on the technology itself. The silicon photovoltaics that you would be purchasing with our installers through Solarize Flower City are really a mature technology. So the next state-of-the-art stuff that will be coming down the pipeline isn't really going to be commercializable for another 10 years. Isn't going to be at the consumer level for probably 15 to 20. So you wouldn't be looking to upgrade or refresh your system for about 20 years anyway. So there really is no better time to jump on board.
Marcy writes to us and says, yesterday morning we lost power from 5 a.m. back on around 11:30. Would we have had power to our house if we had a solar system hooked up?
Unfortunately, not in a standard grid-connected installation. The National Electric Code does require that our equipment shut down when the grid goes out.
Okay. Did you guys want to add anything to that last call? Go ahead, Lane.
We have homeowners that install solar and then come back a year later and say they want to add battery backup or a complement. Some homeowners want to start right off with the solar with the battery backup. So, you know, we would, you know, size the system and the energy storage to supply, you know, the needed energy for the priority loads that they're looking to run in an outage condition.
Okay. If our listeners want a free estimate, again, they can get it, right? Doesn't matter where you live. You can, in a listening area right now, you can get a free estimate.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay. So I would expect you guys, your phones may be ringing at some point. Just because it doesn't cost me anything, I may call you. My wife and I may call you just to see. We've got a lot of trees, but you may say, hey, you've got plenty of room there. So if you want to get in touch with the companies that are involved here, which are Sustainable Energy Developments, Rochester Solar Technologies, what's the best way to do that?
You can give us a call directly at 585-265-2384 or fill out an online form on our website, which is www.sed-net.com.
Okay. Lane?
And for us, our direct line is 585-924-2176, and our website is solarrochester.com.
Okay. And Susan, you want to add to that? Go ahead.
And if you live in the city of Rochester and you're interested in exploring discounts, you're going to want to go to solarizeflowercity.com. Both of the companies represented here, you're able to get free quotes from through our website.
Bonnie in Rochester. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Yes, hi. The Green Party of Monroe County is very interested in anything really environmentally sound and also especially energy-related issues. So we've been going around to neighborhoods, especially in poorer areas of the city, to talk about this. And there's actually been some beginning movement for interest. So, and we're also glad to see that we're going to be able to join a panel with the group you're talking to, with Susan, on August 13th at the school 23 at 7 o'clock to have a panel and awareness of this issue. And so we really want to present this across the city. I have one question, though, and I don't know a lot about this, but there's some. I got some information just recently about the fact that there's something called the Shared Renewable Energy Program. I guess the governor, they're trying to put pressure on the governor to address this. Could somebody there explain this a little bit more?
Shared Renewable Energy Program. Bonnie, thanks. Anybody? Susan?
Well, I'm going to touch on a couple things. One of the big things, we're doing these solar assemblies throughout the city from June until August. The one that Bonnie mentioned is at School 23. A Rock Spot will host these solar assemblies. There's free educational programs. You get to talk to the scientists, the engineers, the installers. Our next one is tomorrow, June 25th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at 1245 Culver Road at St. Mark St. John's. So there's a lot of information that you'll be able to receive there if you didn't get it today through talking with us. I think there's a lot of programs, and in terms of what Bonnie was touching on at the end of the call, there's a lot of programs that are being brought forward for the governor to be examining right now. You know, here in Rochester, the city is working actively on its climate action plan, and the governor's pulling together a lot of great ideas and strategies across the state.
And once again, the event tomorrow, details, Susan?
Yeah, so it is our first solar assembly, June 25th, from 6 to 8 p.m., at St. Mark's St. John's, 1245 Culver Road, and that is in the Beechwood neighborhood. Everyone across the city is welcome to attend.
Okay, so I think we've answered as many questions as we could. The phone's still ringing, which is just a testament to the interest in the subject. Last word, I'm going to go to Dan Courtney, the man with solar on the house here. You know, it's interesting that some people have said, boy, Evan, you sound like a solar evangelist, et cetera. You seem to be one too now, Dan. But what's the biggest question you get from your neighbors or people want to know about what you've done? putting solar on your house?
Yeah, I think, and we've covered most of it, it's the financial aspect of it. And I think it's pretty clear at this point that it is a good financial investment. I don't think there's any question about that. But for me, what it does for me is, well beyond that, is it quite literally makes me feel good knowing that I'm doing the right thing for the environment, that I'm producing clean energy, and I think you really can't put a price on that.
Dan Courtney's got solar on his house. He's been sharing his experience along with the rest of our panel this hour. Susan Spencer, the president and founder of RockSpot. Thank you, Susan.
Thanks for having me on, Evan.
Nancy Johns Price of the City of Rochester, administrator of the Southeast Quadrant. Thanks for sharing the city's perspective, Nancy.
Thank you so much, Evan.
All right, Doug Weissar and Lane Young, Sustainable Energy Developments and Rochester Solar Technologies, helping us understand the installation aspects. Thank you, Doug and Lane.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And hope we answered as many of your questions as we could this hour as you understand what is available. SolarizeFlowerCity.com. Short break. Let's talk about whether you'd want to live for 200 years if you could next hour. It's sort of a weird question, but we're going to try to answer it.